You would go ahead and get out your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 this morning. And the Lord laid this message on my heart actually over the last several weeks. And it's been developing in my head before it developed on, and in my heart before it ever developed on paper, if you will. And I tell you, it's just there's so much to digest if you start watching too much news. Amen. There's so much to digest, watching, listening, reading, whatever. And I'll be honest with you, about the last week, I've kind of slacked off a little bit with it, and because it just keeps getting so repetitive. You know, I've been keeping up with a little bit here and there, but not as much as what I was inundating myself with. But trying to put a little bit more other things mixing in that I probably should have been listening to a little more all along. And just leave it at that. But we do need to keep up with what's going on around us. And I tell you, a lot of things have changed and are changing. And who knows what's going to change and happen in the days to come. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 is a familiar verse of Scripture. And this is one that, boy, I could talk about this all day long, the thoughts and the different things that's run through my heart and my mind over the last months concerning these passages and things. And but I'm going to try to summarize it today and not be here for hours. Amen. But yet give you the main part that the Lord's laid on my heart. Amen. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we're going to start reading in verse number 13. And I believe that we're getting ready to read Brother Gary's favorite verse here in a few minutes. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. It's a great verse. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Now I'm going to stop right there just for a second this morning. And you think about this morning the word ignorant. A lot of times, you know, that's a word that's kind of one of those words, I guess, to a point that you got to be careful how you use it. Amen. And what you mean when you say it. Because a lot of people today, when they think ignorant, they think that means somebody's what? Stupid, right? Dumb, if you will. And that's not what the word means. Ignorant doesn't mean somebody's stupid or dumb. It just means the fact they are ignorant. In other words, they don't know, right? They don't know. They don't understand. They don't know any better. Amen? That's like a lot of things that children do a lot of times. That's what they are. Amen? They're ignorant until we train them in the way they should go, like the Bible says. Amen? And teach them right from wrong. Amen? Same thing when it comes to a lot of things spiritually, if you will. They're spiritually discerned, the Bible says, about some things. And a lot of things is that way when it comes to the spiritual. A lot of people's just ignorant. They don't know, hadn't been taught any better. A lot of times, I give you one good example. A lot of times we talk with people about salvation. They're ignorant about how to be saved. They don't know. They've never been told. They've never been explained. They have a wrong, false idea about how to be saved. They think it's by works or some other way. A lot of times people's especially ignorant on this, and we've talked about this many times, about eternal security. Amen. They've never been taught what the Bible truly says clearly, that once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. They've never been taught that. And it's amazing when you show people a couple verses of Scripture, how their eyes open up. And they're like, you know what? I am truly saved a lot of times, not all the time. I am truly saved. I am. But I've been sitting here worrying and sweating and gnawing my fingernails, hoping that, you know, I ain't done something to lose it, when there's nothing you can do to lose it if you've truly been born again. Amen. And so ignorance is not what people think it is a lot of times. It's just simply didn't know, didn't understand, didn't have knowledge about that yet. And here he says, I would not have you to be ignorant about what Paul's getting ready to talk about. He says, I don't want you to walk around not knowing this. I don't want you to walk around not understanding this subject, what we're going to talk about. He said, it's important. I want you to understand this. Don't be ignorant about this subject. He says, brethren. Amen. So we see specifically here, he's not talking to the lost people in these verses, really, although lost people need to hear these verses. Amen. But instead, he's talking about the fact to the believers. He wants the Thessalonican believers and us today as believers to not be ignorant about what he's getting ready to talk about. And so this morning, if you're here and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, say amen. 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 Guess what Paul's saying to you this morning in the Word of God is, don't be ignorant about this, brethren. Amen. In other words, don't understand these things. Amen. These are important things for us to understand and get that he's getting ready to say. Notice here, concerning, here's what we don't need to be ignorant about. Concerning them which are asleep, or we would say what? Dead. That's what it means. Amen. In other words, those that are asleep, those that are dead, those that have died, if you will, and we talked about some that we know earlier in the last few weeks. He said, don't want you to be ignorant about those that are dead, those that are gone, those that have passed away, if you will. He said, that you sorrow not. Now, if that verse stopped there, that would mean that we should not sorrow at all and should not shed tears and not cry when somebody dies. But the verse don't end there. Amen. Notice what the rest of the verse says. You sorrow not. Notice these next words. They're key. Even as what? Others which have no hope. Amen. May I say it's a natural thing when your mama, daddy, brother, sister, child, somebody you love, care, a fellow church member dies, for there to be a little bit of sorrow there. Amen. It's a natural thing for there to be some tears there. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that, if you will, this morning in the fact that we miss them. Amen. We're going to miss having them around. We're going to miss seeing them. Amen. And being with them and all those types of things. But we should not sorrow what? Even as others. Amen. We shouldn't sorrow like the lost world does. Amen. Over, if you will, others that what? Have no hope. Amen. Those that have no hope, that you know, won't see their loved ones again, don't have hope based in the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, then guess what? There's a sorrow there that's different than a sorrow of just simply, we said goodbye until I see you again. Amen. Until we meet again. Amen. There's a different sorrow there. And that's what Paul's saying. I don't want you to be ignorant about this concerning them which are asleep. He said, don't sorrow as those that have no hope. But verse 14, for if, here's the key if. Amen. There's if here. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I say amen to that this morning, I do. Even so, them also which sleep, those that are dead, in Jesus will what? God bring with him. Amen. In other words, for those that have died, that have placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? Those, they're going to heaven. Everything will be okay. Amen. They'll be okay. We'll see them again one day. And there's lots of verses that we could look at, of course, that talks about that. Especially where Jesus talked about, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Over there, if you will. But we'll read on the next part. It says, for this we say unto you, verse 15, unto you the brethren, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This ain't Paul's word. This is the Lord's word. Amen. That's clear here in this verse. That we, that's those of us, the brethren, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, the Bible says. For the Lord himself, notice this verse in particular, verse 16 and 17 is our text for this morning. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, Brother Gary's favorite verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I'm looking forward to that shout. Amen. Some say it's going to be sheep. Some say it's going to be come up hither. I don't know what it's going to be, but I want to hear it. Amen. And I'm ready to hear that shout. Amen. Whatever it is. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And I love these next words. They become my favorite in these verses. To meet the Lord. Amen. And boy, I marked that in my Bible. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So we see before we get in the message a series of events here. We see the fact that he says, don't take in sorrow as those that have no hope. Because if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and the person that died knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you're going to see them again in heaven one day. Amen. Don't sorrow as those that have no hope. He says, I'm telling you this morning that one day there's coming a day when that trumpet is going to sound. Amen. When that call from heaven is going to come forth that verse 16 talks about. He said, and the Lord's going to send from heaven with a shout. But he's not going to come all the way back, if you will, and put his feet down on the earth. That's the second coming. Amen. That's later on, if you will. But what he's going to do is he's going to shout. That trump's going to be there. He's going to take and come down part of the way in the air, to use the words that the Scripture uses. Amen. And we're going to, those that are dead in Christ, the Bible said at the end of verse 16, what are they going to do? Those that are in the graves are going to open. They're going to rise up what? First. Amen. They're going to go to meet the Lord first in the air. You know who the second ones are going to be? Me and you. Amen. If you're here and you're alive on this earth when this takes place and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to go out. But all this is going to take place in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Just like that. And you think about, we're going to go to meet the Lord in that air, and I like the rest of that, so shall we ever, it says in verse 17, be with the Lord. Amen. We're going to be the brethren, those that are saved, we're going to be forever with the Lord for all of eternity. Amen. And you say, what is this? Well, all this we could sum up really in one word that we use a lot of times, and it's a biblical thing, even though the word's not used in the Bible, and that's rapture. Amen. The rapture. When we talk about the rapture, this is what we're talking about this morning. Amen. And we're looking forward to that day of the rapture when it takes place. By the way, let me say this. The only ones that will be raptured out is those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those that are the brethren. Amen. Those that are not saved, there's a whole nother subject and a whole nother thing that takes place with them. Amen. And I'm simply telling you today, know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you think about the fact that here we're raptured out. That word rapture comes from verse 17 where it says, shall be what? Caught up. Amen. That means literally a snatching away. A snatching away, a catching up. And that's where we get that word rapture from, that rapturos in the Greek and all those things. But that's where that comes from. So we're going to be caught away. We're going to be raptured up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air and be with Him forever and ever and ever throughout all eternity. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into the message. Dear Lord, we thank You today for everything that You've done. Thank You for Your Word, dear Lord. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for saving us. Dear Father, I pray today that You would help us as we look into Your Word at this important subject of the rapture. Dear Lord, as we look, dear Lord, at the rapture in light of the days and the times especially that we live in around us. Dear Lord, I pray today that You touch my heart and my mind and my lips, dear Lord, and let everything that's said and done be according to Your Word and according to Your leading and guiding this morning. Dear Lord, I pray You'd set me aside, just use me as Your instrument today, I pray. Fill me, help me. Help, dear Lord, every person that's here listening today, those that may listen later on, I pray that You'd help them as well and help us as well to respond as You speak to our hearts. Dear Lord, I know You spoke to my hearts through this subject. It's my heart this past several weeks, dear Lord, about this subject and about some things in my own life as I examine the rapture. I pray today You'd do the same to each and every heart that's here. Thank You for all that You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have some familiar verses of Scripture. And the phrase, I guess, that the Lord really has pressed upon my heart is the phrase that I mentioned to you in verse number 17. I read the verse again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. To meet the Lord, there it is, in the air. I ask you simply this question this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Or if you want to make the message, what I'd really like to name the message is this, although it makes the title a little long, I realize. So if you want to put down you're ready, are you ready, that's fine. But really the title the Lord laid upon my heart was this. Are you ready? Because, ready or not, here He comes. We remember many times as little kids growing up, we played games like hide and seek, right? We've all played hide and seek before. Amen. And you think about when you played hide and seek as a little kid, a lot of times you start at 10 or 20 or whatever it was and you start counting down. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you take and you start counting down. When you get to zero, what did you do? You didn't just take off and if you will, start, you know, chasing around and trying to find. When you got to zero, there was something that you did, at least every game I ever played that we always did, and I'm sure with y'all, you would say what? Ready or not, here I come. Amen? And when I read these verses, I think about, if you will, kind of, sort of, that type of scenario. Amen. You say, what do you mean? I think about this, that the Lord is on the countdown. Amen. He's on the countdown today. I believe He's been counting down the years for a while. Amen. I believe He's been counting them down year after year after year after year until His return. It's been a while, amen, since He left in our timetable, not in His, but in ours. Amen. And you think about today, there's been many people down throughout history who have taken and said what? Oh, you Christians have said that for years and years and years that the Lord's coming back. You've believed that rapture for years and years and years. And a lot of people stopped believing the rapture, by the way, that used to believe it. You say, why? I'll just be honest with you. I think in part because He hadn't come back, amen, and they don't want to stand up and still preach and teach what the Bible says. It's easier to take and change, if you will, to something else, if you will, like they change about a lot of other things. But I still believe the rapture, amen. God's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but all should come to repentance. He's not slack, amen, as the Bible tells us. He's not slack. God's not sitting up in heaven and saying, well, No, God knows the timetable, amen. God's had the timetable laid out since the beginning, amen. He knows what the date is, what the time is, what the hour is, what the minute is, I believe God the Father does, of when this rapture is going to take place. Amen. He's not delaying it, if you will. The date has been set. But however, He has given time and His long-suffering that those that are still here on this earth that don't know Him as their Savior, that they would be given opportunity and time to come to know Him. Amen. Because of His love and kindness for them. And you think about today, I'm simply saying that I believe the Lord has been counting down for a long time, if you will. And this is not a game, by the way, that we're talking about this morning. I'm just using that as an analogy. I hope you know that. But you think about the fact that when you get down to that last, guess what? How many of you ever played hide-and-go-seek and they said, ready or not, here I come, and you wasn't ready? Has that ever happened? It's happened to me before. Amen. I thought I had a good hiding spot, and last minute I looked over here and I said, no, that ain't going to work too good. I need to go over here. And you start to run to go, and the person looks up, and you're like, and you know you lost. You're going to be the first one gotten, right? And you lost. But I think about today, when I think about that, I think there's going to be a lot of people that's that way when the rapture takes place. There's going to be a lot of people that have seen the signs of the times. Amen? There's going to be a lot of people that saw the signs coming, that saw the days and the troubled days and the troubled times that we're living in. Amen? They've heard the Word of God preached. They've seen the gospel being put out there. They've thought about it. They've prayed about it, maybe even though they wasn't saved. They've prayed, you know, some prayer or something, if you will, to some sort. And they're seeking, if you will. But then they've taken and not come to the place of that acceptance of the Lord as their Savior. It's been amazing to me over the last several months. A lot of people's hearts and minds have been turned to the Lord through all this. Amen. The lost, especially, but even some saved that's been backslidden. Their hearts and minds have been turned to the Lord through all this. And I don't want to get up here today and sound like a conspiracy theorist, but there's a lot of thoughts in my head this morning. Some I will not share. But there's some that I'll say this. I believe God has taken and allowed all this to happen for many purposes and many reasons. And one reason why that song this morning Maria sung has been on my heart, God makes no mistakes, is realize this has not been a mistake. Amen? This has not been a mistake in the sense of God knew this was going to happen all along. Amen? He's in control. He's in control this morning. He's in control of it all. This is all, if you will, a part of God's plan. Amen? It's a part of God's plan. And I believe a part of why He's allowed these things to happen is that people might wake up. Amen? That people might take and realize the time is drawing nigh. Amen? That realize that the Lord is counting down, and He's been counting down all along till He comes back. But pretty soon, they're going to hear the shout. They're going to hear the trump. We're going to hear the trump, and we're going to be snatched out. And the Lord's going to say, if you allow me to put it this way, ready or not, here I come. And we're going to be called out. And for those that have heard the message of the gospel and that's had the opportunity to be saved, we talked about this on Wednesday nights a little while back. For those that have had that opportunity, the Bible says it's too late for them. If they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll believe the lie. They'll believe that strong delusion, if you will. And boy, I don't know about you, but the last few months, the way some people have believed and given in on a lot of different things, I can see a lot of different things. It's just been eye-opening. But I'm thinking about simply today the fact that the Lord is coming back soon. And this morning the message is simply, are you ready? Because ready or not, He's getting ready to come. Amen? Ready or not, He's getting ready to come. And we need to get our hearts and our minds and focused on this fact this morning. Amen? That He is coming back soon and very soon. Amen? And with those things in mind this morning, if you will, I want you to look with me. You know the verse, but turn with me to 1 John chapter number 1. There's three simple points this morning and we'll be done. 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John 1 and verse number 9. It's a familiar verse of Scripture. If you will, 1 John and verse chapter 1 and verse number 9. The Bible says in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And by the way, the verses before and after that's real good too, about the fact that we say we've not sinned, we're deceiving ourselves, we're wrong, amen, because we've all sinned, amen, if you will. And His Word's not in us. We make Him a liar if we say we haven't sinned. And I'm simply saying this morning, the first thing that in light of this fact, are you ready, are ready or not, because here He comes, is the fact we need to be ready when it comes to our sin. Amen? We need to be ready when it comes to our sin this morning. I ask you and I ask me honestly this morning, are we ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Are we ready to meet Him when it comes to our sin situation this morning? Are we reading? He's directing these verses that we looked at in 1 Thessalonians to the brethren. So I'll begin there this morning. Brethren, are you ready this morning to meet the Lord when it comes to your sin in your life? When it comes to your relationship with the Lord, your sin situation, if you will, is there sin in your life this morning that you've been harboring? Unconfessed sin. Is there something in there that you need to get right between you and God? Ready or not, here I come. Don't be caught out in the open and saying, boy, I wish I would have asked the Lord to forgive me of that and got that right before He called me out. Amen? Don't be taken and when it comes, say, boy, I wish I would have had the chance to make that right with so-and-so before this took place. Amen? I wish I would have had the chance to do this or that, or stop doing this, or stop doing that in my life. Amen? Today, realize, ready or not, here He comes. The Lord's getting ready to come back, and we need to take this morning and get sin out of our lives. Let's be honest this morning. I tell you, I've needed the Lord's help with this in my own life, and there's been some things the last few weeks, I think probably in all of us' heart and life to an extent, maybe some bigger, some smaller, if we're not careful, but I have missed to death being in church. I can't believe we didn't get no amen. Maybe I didn't hear it behind the mask, amen. But I have missed to death being in church, amen. I've missed being here. Not just for the sake of seeing Brother Brent, amen, even though I did see him once or twice in Walmart. I mean, Bilo, not Walmart. Lord mercy, I try to stay away, Karen. I've bought a lot of groceries at Bilo that I hadn't bought in a long time because of that. And I shouldn't record this and put that out there, but I did. You heard me, amen. Thank you for the 10% discount. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. But I'm simply saying, not just because of seeing y'all, although I do miss seeing y'all, don't take that wrong, but because I want to be in God's house. Amen? I have a desire to be in God's house in my heart. Amen? I want to be around God's people. I want to be fellowshipping. I want to be fellowshipping not just to talk to you about whatever's going on in your life, but fellowshipping about God and the things of God and being together and seeing what God's doing in your family, in your life, in my family, in my life, and how God's blessing and helping and working and answering prayer and working on answering prayers. Amen? This morning, we need it. And I say that to say all this, maybe over the last several months, because of the way things been, we've allowed some little sin to creep in our hearts, to creep in our lives, to creep in our minds, that we need to get right between us and the Lord. Maybe. You say, well, I don't really think so in my life, Pastor. Maybe be careful. He that standeth, take heed, lest he what? Fall. Don't let the pride come in. Maybe it's something on the internet that your eyes have looked at or begin to look at. Because after all, if you've got internet, I think I would be safe in saying this. I can only speak for myself. But probably most of us have been on the internet more than what we usually are over the last several months. Whether it be to watch church services even. Amen. And even when you turn on Google and just get started, sometimes you see things. Let's just be honest. When you go on Facebook, sometimes you see things, right? If you're not careful and you have to click out of and off of real quick. Amen. I'm simply saying today, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Has there some sin or something that maybe slipped into our hearts, a seed of some sin that slipped into our hearts? Don't let it take, if you will, and begin to grow fruit and take root in our hearts and in our lives. Maybe there's some area in our life that we begin to backslid in just a little bit. You think about today, maybe it's been in music, some area, something that we've been listening to that we shouldn't. Maybe it's with our mouth, amen? Maybe there's some things that we've said, some things that we've done, if you will, out of anger, if you will. Maybe even towards somebody else or even between us and God because we're upset and if you will, in the wrong way because of what's going on and taking place around us and our situations that's going on, if you will, and what we're going through, if you will. Because there's been some trials, there's been some tribulations, I know, especially with the last few months. You think about today, have we slipped in that area? Maybe it's our meditation. You say, what do you mean? Our mouth, our meditation, our music. Maybe we slipped up in some thought areas in our lives. Amen? After all, we say this many times, and this ain't a scripture verse, but I believe it's true from scripture, even though it's not a scripture verse, that the idle mind's the devil's workshop. Amen? The more we sit around, the more we quarantine, and I'm not against quarantining. Amen? I've been quarantining as much as I could, which ain't much, because I'm vital and essential. Amen? But anyway, I'll leave all that alone. But it makes you feel good, but anyway, I don't know. Don't make me feel good another way, Brother Gary, but I'll leave all that alone. But I say this morning simply that it gives extra time in some people's lives for that mind and that heart and those things to go in the wrong direction. I'm simply saying tonight the fact that this morning we need to make sure that our sin is right between us and the Lord and we're ready. I think about Isaiah 55 and verse number 7. Isaiah 55 verse 7 is a great verse about our sin, but it's a little used verse. It's a little less known verse than the ones we usually use, but it ought to be used more. Isaiah 55 7, the Bible says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return," notice that, "unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Amen. In other words, we need to turn from our ways. Amen. We need to turn from those things. Kind of reminds me of a verse that I've been seeing and thinking about a lot lately, about the verse over in Chronicles that talks about revival. Amen. If we'll take and get on our knees and pray and confess our sin, ask God to forgive us, seek His face, then He'll turn, heal our sins, forgive our land. You know what I'm talking about this morning. I'm simply saying we need to confess those things between us and God. But I like the end of verse 7, Isaiah 55, 7, because it said if we do turn to Him, we do return to Him, He'll have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will, and I like the last two words, abundantly pardon. Amen. Well, I'm glad today God just doesn't pardon us, although that would be enough. Amen. I thank the Lord that He abundantly pardons, Brother Gary. That reminds me in the New Testament where He said, how many times forgive? What? 70 times seven. Amen. In other words, our God abundantly pardons us. You say the area I've slipped in my life, it's my weakness, if you will. And we know we all have different areas that we're more likely in different things. But it's my weak. May I say today, God will abundantly pardon you. Amen. If you'll go to Him, as 1 John 1:9 says, and confess and forsake those sins and ask Him for His help again. Amen. Don't take and just give in, if you will, and allow those things to take over in your heart and in your life. I thought about those words, abundantly pardoned. It reminded me of the hymn that we sang sometimes at Calvary. Amen. In that chorus, I believe it is, it says, "And pardon there was multiplied to me." Amen. At Calvary. I'm glad the Lord takes this morning. He is abundantly pardoned. He will abundantly pardon. He'll multiply that to you and to me. Amen. If we'll take and we'll go to Him this morning. So I ask you, are things right? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are things right between us, others, and God today? Because ready or not, guess what? Here He comes.